Good morning, church. Luke 24:45 says, "Then he," referring to Jesus, "opened the disciples' mind to understand the scriptures." And this is just a little bit of a, not a part of the message this morning, but that has challenged me that the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years. They've seen miracle after miracle. They sat in the teaching of Jesus Christ. They heard him. They heard him speak to him. And he taught them. And he taught them the word of God. He taught them the prophecies. He is the fulfillment of it. And he sat down and he walked them through the scriptures. And at the end of 3 years, it says, "Then the Lord opened their minds to understand the scriptures." So my prayer today is that as we look at the word of God, he is going to open our mind. And the Bible says that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So my prayer for each of us as we look at the word of God, not just this morning, but tonight, tomorrow, as you go into this week, that we are open to the Lord to draw us to the Father. We're open to him opening our mind to understand the scriptures. The title of the message is Shoot Your Arrows. Shoot Your Arrows. And this is an arrow. I only brought three, and I did not bring a bow. So we're going to be looking at arrows. In 2 Kings 13 is where the scripture is found. 2 Kings 13, and we're going to be reading 14 through the end of the chapter. Second Kings 13, 14 through 25. The scriptures we're going to be looking at, we're going to be stopping at verse 20 as we discuss it, but we're going to read through the end of the chapter. "Now, when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, 'My father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And Elisha said to him, 'Take a bow and arrows.' And he took a bow and arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, 'Draw the bow.' And he drew it. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, 'Open the window eastward.' And he opened it. And Elisha said, 'Shoot.'" Everyone say, "Shoot." "And he shot. And he said, 'The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria, for you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end to them.' And he said, 'Take the arrows.' And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, 'Strike the ground with them.' And he struck three times, and then he stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, 'You should have struck five or six times, and then you would have struck down Syria until you had made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times.' So Elisha died, and they buried him. Now bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year. And as a man was being buried, behold, marauding band was seen, and the man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Now Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoaz, but the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them. And he turned toward them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, nor has he cast them from his presence until now. When Hazael, king of Syria, died, Ben-Hadad, his son, became king in his place. Then Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again from Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, and the cities that he had taken from Jehoahaz, his father, in war. Three times Joash defeated him and recovered the cities of Israel." I've heard a quote many times: it's not failure that's the sin, it's low aim. So we're going to be looking at a story where a prophet, a man of God, told the king to take his arrows, to take a bow, and shoot and strike the ground, shoot the arrows. So many times it's not failure that's our problem, it's low aim. One of the biggest mistakes we can make is we have low aim, we shoot too low, our expectations are too low. If you look back over your life and if there's things that you would do differently, many times it's we would have given more. I wonder how it would have been if I would have went to my dream school. I wonder what would have happened if I started that business. I wonder what would have happened if I had laid hands on the sick. I wonder what would have happened if I shared the gospel in the lineup at Tim Hortons. I wonder what would have happened if I was willing to step out in faith and share the goodness of Jesus Christ, to walk through the open door. What would have happened? What's on the other side? And we look back, and there's times that we wish we would have done things differently. We would have walked in more faith. We wish we would have shot all of our arrows. We're not going to be striking the ground three times, but we're going to shoot every arrow that we have. The Lord has given each of us a bag of arrows. And that's what we're looking at here. It's the end of Elisha's life. And Elisha is a mighty man of God. He's one of the greatest prophets who operated in tremendous faith in his life. He is the prophet that is known as the double blessing prophet. He asked for a double blessing when he received the mantle from Elijah. He is a prophet that at this very moment, it's his last miracle. The last word that he's sharing to the king. It's the end of his life. He's giving his all. He's sick with an illness of which he is to die. And Jehoash went to the prophet, and he did not go down as a great king. However, when we look at him, there's one thing we can learn from him. He came to Elijah. He came to the man of God, and he said, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." He came to Elisha because he understood that Elisha had a relationship with God. He understood that when he came to a point in his life where he could not win this victory, he could not win over the battle or the problem that is coming his way, he did not have it in his chariots or his horsemen to defeat the Syrian army. And he knew there's one place he should be going to, and that is to God. Now, he did not have a relationship with God. He was worshiping false idols. So he went to the man of God because he knew the man of God will hear from the Lord. If you're seeking victory in your life, you have one place to go, and that is God. No matter the problem, no matter what it is, even if you think it's one that you can handle on your own strength, we need to go to the Lord. He is the one who holds the victory in his hand. He is the one who has defeated our problems. You're going to find out very quickly when we come into a problem that our family lineage is not going to be enough. We're going to know very quickly that no matter what job I have, that is not going to be enough to defeat the problem. We're going to know very quickly that it doesn't matter how much money I have, that's not going to be enough to give us victory in the problems that the devil is going to be bringing our way. We're going to know very quickly that there's only one answer, and that is going to God. That is going to the Lord. It does not matter on your reputation. It does not matter on your position. It doesn't matter on anything that you have built up in this earth. God is the only answer for every problem, for everything that is coming your way. So we can learn here from Jehoash that he turned to the Lord. He went to God with his problems. And he did it in the Old Testament through the prophet of God, the man of God. And he took his problem to him and he presented it and said, what should I do? And we can learn from that. You can go to men of God, but you can go directly to God. We don't need to... The Lord has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, to direct us into all truth, to lead us, to draw us to the Father. Even if you've encountered God, it doesn't mean that there's no more work that's needed to be done. I'm constantly being worked on in my life. So it's not like this one time I was drawn to the Lord and now I'm done. We're being drawn and we're being refined constantly. So Elisha is this mighty man of God. He's the double portion prophet. We've seen in verse 21 that when a dead man's body was thrown on him, he revived, he stood back up. He carried the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his body after he was gone. It is an incredible, incredible story. I wonder how it would have been to meet Elisha. I wonder how it would have been to interact with him. And as we see in the scriptures, the king did not meet with Elisha a whole lot. This was, I believe it was quite some years before the last time that Elisha was talking to the king of Israel. I'm not even sure if he talked to this king a whole lot prior, maybe a few times. So Elisha said, take the arrows in verse 15. And the king took the arrows. He took the bow. And he said, draw the bow. So he drew it, and the man of God laid his hands on the king. And he told him to strike or to shoot it. When a prophet of God of this stature lays his hands on another, as we see through scriptures, he's ready to impart or transfer something. And in this case, he's ready to transfer the victory of the Lord into the king. That as he goes into battle, the battle will be his. The battle, because Elisha is imparting the victory from God onto this king. And I find that it breaks so many boxes in my mind. We've got this wicked king, and we've got this man of God who's laying his hands on him, and he's declaring that the victory is yours through God. And we've got a wicked king, and this is happening. So it's just very, very intriguing to me. He wants to anoint him with victory. And he told him to open the east window facing Syria. And it's intentional that it's an east window. In those days, what you would do if you're declaring war on your enemy is you would go to the edge of the enemy's ground where they have an outpost, and you would throw a spear, and you'd throw it towards the enemy camp, and you would tell the enemy that I declare war. I am declaring war on your nation. I am declaring war on my enemy. So he told them to open the east window, the window that's facing Syria, and he told them to take the bow, draw it, and shoot it. And he laid his hands on him when he shot it. What he was saying is, you came to me with a problem. I'm telling you to declare war on your problem. I'm telling you to look at your problem in its eye and say, I declare war on my problem. I'm going to shoot the arrow of truth upon my problem. This morning, there's some declaring that we can do in our lives. I will declare war on my problems. I will declare war upon the problem of depression in my life. I will declare war upon the problem of anxiety in my life. I will declare war against the problem of pornography. I will declare war against any problem that the enemy is trying to throw against us. You and I can shoot the arrow. We do not need to hold back. We will shoot the arrow and declare war upon the problem. We do not fight against flesh and blood. People are not your problem. So if you feel like it's a person and you're in school and you have issues with a peer or a bully, the person is not your problem. We never declare war on people, but we do not need to live subject to the spirits of fear. Fear of my future, fear of the unknown. I can declare war on the spirit of fear. It does not need to hold me back. I do not need to live under it. I'm not saying it's not a problem, that it's not going to attack us. I'm not saying that it's not, you know, we have so many fears. Fears of the future, fears of the unknown, fear of what if I step out in faith, fear of what if I start my business, what if, and fill in the blank. Fear of people, fear of man, fear of what if, whatever it is, declare war on it. It is time that we, as a church, start declaring war on some stuff in our lives. and we can do it. It is time that we start declaring war against the enemy. Elisha told the king to shoot, and he shot. And as he shot, he said, "That arrow that you shot is the arrow of victory." They didn't even go to war yet. There was no battle. They didn't even pull out a spear yet. But he said, "That is the arrow of victory." The victory's been won. So you and I might have battles that are going to come, but we can shoot the arrow of victory today. Even before we go into the battle, we don't need to live under whatever it is that we're declaring war on. So I find that very, we seen at the end of the chapter that they still fought. They still had a battle. And I don't know how they went down, but we do know that Israel was victorious in it three times. He shot the arrow of victory. Sometimes circumstances take time to align and follow suit of the victory that we're going to be claiming and living in today. You can claim the victory. I can claim the victory that I will not live in fear. Doesn't mean that I'm never going to have to deal with fear. Sometimes the enemy's going to try to toss some fear at me. Doesn't mean I don't have to deal with that and deflect it in those times of battle, but I will choose to live in victory today. When we step into obedience and we're willing to declare war, we're willing to shoot the arrow, the victory is ours. Verse 18 through 20, and Elisha comes here and he tells the man of God to take the rest of the arrows, take the arrows, take the bow, and he said to shoot, strike the ground. Now, arrows in that day weren't mass manufactured. You could buy about 24 arrows with a week's worth of money, so they weren't cheap. And if he had a bag full of arrows, and this was the king, so I'm guessing they were not crooked in any manner. I'm guessing they were the premium arrows in their day. And the king took the arrow, and he shot it, and he struck the ground once, twice, and three times. He struck the ground three times, and the man of God was angry, not because he only struck it three times, but because of the potential that he had. He had five or six arrows in his bag. And the man of God said, "You should have struck the ground five or six times, not just three times." Now, I get it. As a king, you know, you're crazy to shoot all of your arrows. Because if you shoot all of your arrows, you've got nothing left to defend yourself. You're vulnerable. You're vulnerable to the enemy. What if someone comes up? You should keep a few arrows in reserve. You should keep a little bit for the future. Because what if there's unknowns in the future? And that is why Elisha was angry, is he was not willing to give everything, to pour it out. We cannot compare the arrows that you're shooting and I'm shooting with each other. We're given different arrows. We might even be given different amounts of arrows. So somebody strikes the ground three times and they've given it all. They've given every arrow that they've been given. They shot every arrow. They did not hold back. And some people here may have 5 or 10 arrows. And we're called to shoot every arrow that the Lord has given to us. We are not called to hold back. We are not called to live in reserve. We are not called to live in self-protection or self-preservation of the future. We are called to be sold out for the kingdom of heaven. We are so called to be sold out to our Lord and Savior, to whom much has been given, much has been required. The children of God, we are called to shoot our arrows. Sometimes the answer is shooting the arrow and not holding back, not living in reserve, not living in fear, not living in the what ifs of this life. So how far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to pay for the Lord? Or how much are we holding back in where the Lord has called you? How many arrows are we leaving in our bag? So no matter what comes my way, I will serve the Lord. And we can declare that over our lives. We don't need to live in reserve. We can declare that over our lives. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to put a stake in the ground. I'm going to shoot the arrow and say that me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We do not need to live in reserve. We can declare that today. You don't need to declare that when you go into the battle. You can know it before the battle ever comes. When a problem comes our way, we shoot the arrow. We do not hold back. We go back to the word of truth, to God's word. It is an arrow, and we're going to shoot it. We're going to let it go towards our problem because it is God's word that we stand in. I will not be indifferent. I will not live in apathy. I will not allow a spirit of complacency to take over my life and make me live in reserve or live holding back. I will shoot every arrow. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I ask you this morning, are you willing to take that stand? As for me and my house, we will shoot every arrow that has been given to us. We will not hold back. Yes, we'll be ridiculed by society. Yes, we will not be understood. Yes, there is a cost. Yes, we'll be persecuted. Yes, yes, yes. We have the privilege of being persecuted as believers for his name's sake. That is a promise. That's something that we can receive from the Lord because we're not of this world. And praise the Lord that the world does not always understand us, that we are of another world. Praise the Lord that they do not understand us because we're not of it. We have a heavenly mind. We have been given heavenly thoughts. We have been given a renewed mind, a transformed life. So we don't need to live, we should not be living trying to please the world and the world system. We should be pleasing our Lord and Savior. We should be living sold out. Sit down and count the cost because there is a cost. So when you look at your arrows in your life and you look at what God has given you. We've all been given arrows. We've all been given talents. We've all been given a purpose, a call, a reason. Sit down and look at that and count the cost. The Bible talks about counting the cost in case we start to build a building and we lay the foundation and then we catch on that we don't have enough money to finish the building. And it is referring to the kingdom of heaven to count the cost. Before you start shooting your arrows, you know whom you believe. You know that he is sufficient. And when you know whom you believe, you know that no matter who or what comes your way, you have enough because he is sufficient. I've counted the cost. And no matter what comes my way, I will serve the Lord. There's times I look back in my life and I notice I have left arrows in the bag. And I think we all have. Sometimes it's because of fear. Other times it's religious worldviews. Sometimes it's simply not walking through a door that the Lord has opened to us. And sometimes walking through that door is scary because we don't know how that looks. And we don't know how that looks. You want to lead. You want to live in complete dependence and trust in Jesus. It's very hard to let go when you have one arrow left in the bag and that's the only arrow that maybe your reputation depends on. It's that arrow that maybe your job depends on. And it's that arrow that maybe your grade, your education depends on. And if you're going to become whatever it is that you're going to school for and you don't want to lose that grade, you need that grade for that job. Maybe it's that arrow that is holding you back from stepping out in faith through an open door. Maybe just simply sharing Jesus to someone, laying hands on the sick. And you're like, well, I'm not going to, I'll do it on everyone but this one person maybe because the Lord, that's too much. And the Lord's saying, shoot your arrow. Shoot your arrow. Leave the results up to me. Don't worry about what happens when you share Jesus at the gas station. Don't worry if they ridicule you. Don't worry if you lay hands on the sick when you are buying groceries and they aren't healed in the moment. Don't worry about the unknowns. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about your family. Give them to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Give your spouses to the Lord. Give your children to the Lord. Don't live in worry or fear for them. We teach them and we raise them up in truth. But I'm not going to live in worry or fear. I'm going to raise them with intention and with truth. I'm not going to live in fear of something, but I'm going to live in dependence on God. Living life with arrows in the bag is disrespectful to the God who designed and created us. He has given you arrows, and he's given you the right arrows. And every arrow that he has given you, he has given you the character and the strength to walk through shooting each arrow. He is not a God who is trying to trick us. He's not a God who's trying to destroy us. If you shoot the arrows for him, he's not going to be out there trying to trick us and make us stumble and fall. He's not going to bring an enemy while we're vulnerable. He is our protection. He is our shield. It's hard to shoot all the arrows. It makes us vulnerable. We have nothing left to defend ourselves. We are completely dependent upon the Lord. And yet, and the Lord knows our potential. He knows how many arrows we've been given. Shooting all the arrows means we're going to be completely trusting in him. My natural mind doesn't understand how it always works out when we shoot all the arrows, but I will walk in obedience. He's given us arrows not for ourselves. He's given us arrows because we need them for the problems that are coming our way. He's given us arrows so that we can shoot them towards our problems, declaring war on the problems. I will walk in obedience. And I will shoot my last arrow. And how about you? How far are you willing to go? What cost are you willing to pay for the kingdom of heaven? How far are you willing to lay down reputation, education, jobs, positions, roles, everything for the kingdom of heaven? Are you willing to shoot your last arrow?